Well, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you very much, Jonathan. Matthew, the 9th chapter, 13th lesson in this volume 1 of the miracles of Jesus, miracles of Christ. And my, what a time we've had. You've been encouraged by them? I hope you have. And this lesson will take it all and wrap it together and help us make some application about really the whole business. Are you anxious about seeing miracles? Are you excited about seeing miracles? Have you seen miracles in your life? Have you witnessed miracles in the lives of people that you know? I know there's some people sitting in this room who have witnessed miracles in the lives of their loved ones as they've been praying for them. And we've seen it in our church and lots of things. But this has certainly been a great encouragement to us. Looking forward to moving on even through volume 2. But Matthew chapter 9, note the memory work for this week, the Bible, the scripture memory. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, what?
So.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say, great, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 107, verse 2. We'll look at that as we see it in the lesson here. Let's pray together. Maybe then we'll look at this lesson. They spread abroad his fame from Matthew chapter 9. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good day that you've given to us, for the beautiful day and things we've been allowed to enjoy. Thank you for health and strength for this day. I pray now that as we meet together here and prepare for Sunday and study your word and prepare to present it to folks in our class this Sunday, you'll help us, guide us by your Holy Spirit and make it come alive in our hearts. Bless these teachers and these Sunday school workers. Be with our pastor today and tonight and our church and all that's before us in the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, we'll begin at verse 27, and we'll take in some earlier verses and later verses a bit later, but for right now, let's begin at verse 27 of Matthew chapter 9. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. That's Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31. You see the lesson, the title of the lesson, they spread abroad his fame. They spread abroad his fame. Now here's the point that we're going to get to as we move through this lesson. As you see it, you pray and plan and prepare. People must hear about Jesus Christ. That's the great need of everyone. They must hear about Jesus Christ. My wife had one of my children at the eye doctor yesterday for an appointment, and she called me and said she was going to be detained. There was an emergency. An infant had come in, I think 10 months, 12 months, and a knife had fallen right into the little child's eye. And you know what I've been thinking about today? I wonder if those people know Christ. I wonder if they have a church that can help them, and because they got tough things. I woke up this morning thinking about them as I looked at my own children. Well, you know what those people need today? They need Christ. Now, maybe they're Christians. I hope they are. Didn't have an opportunity to speak to them. But they need Christ. The people that you're going to talk to Sunday, they need Christ. I had a family in my office today. They have some real difficulties, but nothing that Christ can't take care of. Nothing that Christ in their home can't fix, if that's what you want to, the terminology you want to use. What they need is Christ. Well, the needs for your life and the needs for my life, what we need is Christ. And that's what these men needed. They needed to get to Christ. And that's, as we look at Matthew chapter 9, and we talk about they spread abroad his fame. And as we think about these miracles, now we're on the 13th week of studying these specific miracles of Christ. Desire to see the miracles, desire to see God's hand working in lives and people we love and our own lives, sure. But desire to see it, why? So we can spread Christ and spread his fame abroad. He is the miracle-working God. If you've been saved, then you've experienced the greatest miracle, the miracle of a changed heart, and no longer headed for a Christless eternity, but anxious and excited about spending eternity in heaven. That's the greatest miracle. But we need Christ, and we're going to talk about him. You ever had anything very exciting in your life? I mean, you ever run into somebody who just can't wait to tell you about this great restaurant they ate at, or this great vacation they just had, or this great new car they've just purchased? Well, what's the deal? Well, they've got it in their heart. They've got it on their mind. They're going to talk about it. and they finish telling you about it, and then you see them talking to somebody else down the hall, and then somebody else down the hall. Well, that's how we should be about Christ. Has He done anything for you? Has He done anything for me? If we stop and think about it, certainly we'll realize He has. And they spread abroad His fame. Let's look at this. Three things we think about this miracle here in Matthew chapter 9, and then reflect on a couple of the others that we've studied in the past couple of weeks. Notice here in Matthew chapter 9, God puts a cluster of miracles together. You want to back up with me, please, to verse 18? In verse 18 and 19, we see this ruler coming to Christ. While He spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped Him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Remember Jairus, we talked about last week. Daughter was sick. And actually, we were introduced to him the week before last, because that's when he made his way to Christ. And Christ is on his way, being pressed by the throng of people, and can hardly move about, the crowd of people gathered around him so. And Christ stops in the middle because a woman, and that's where we see here in the second case, this outcast, this lady who had been sick for 12 years, the same 12 years that Jairus had enjoyed his daughter. Remember we talked about? This woman had been suffering from an issue of blood and been an outcast to society, lonely life. But she somehow made her way to Christ, and she reached out and touched Christ. Christ stops in the middle of that crowd and said, Who touched me? And the disciples, Peter, after a moment, responded, Well, Christ, the whole crowd's here. I mean, everybody's pressing. We're being choked, thronged. I mean, people just pressing down on us. I mean, who touched you? Everybody's bumping into everybody. Christ said, No, something much different. Virtue's gone out of me. And that woman got to Christ. So we see the ruler, much different situation than this woman who got to Christ. And then here in verse 27, we're introduced to these two blind men. And they followed Christ. And they followed Him into the house. And they cried out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. They were begging for Christ to intervene. And the third case, this cluster of miracles. And then you see a fourth case right after he healed these blind men. Then there was a man that was possessed of a devil, and he couldn't speak. A cluster of miracles right here. I was reading this passage and thinking, I imagine there were lots of days like this in the life of Christ, in Christ's ministry. Can you imagine? I mean, this is just a picture. I remember the Bible says if everything that Christ had done were written, the world couldn't contain the volumes. Well, this is just a day. Everywhere he turned, there was someone that needed him. Everywhere he turned, there was someone that needed Jesus Christ and needed what only he could do. And God shows us this picture. He puts this one day together, this brief period of time right here, and brought them all together to show us this one thing. Each of these people were vastly different. We'll look at that here in just a second. But they all had one thing in common. There was a common denominator. They had a need that only Christ could meet. Very different situation, very different circumstances. But they all had one thing in common. If you line them all up and said, is there anything in common of all these people? This wealthy ruler, this poor, pitiful woman, these two blind men, and this man that was crazy, possessed of a devil, couldn't even speak. Anything they have in common? They looked very different. They had one thing in common. They all had a need that only Christ could take care of. That's the great common denominator. What are we talking about? They spread abroad His fame. That's the cases involved. Secondly, we see the condition of these people. And we've talked about that some. Here's Jairus, had one daughter, 12 years old, and she's dying. If he didn't get help, she's going to die. No doubt he'd sought all the medical attention he could find. This woman, we know about her. She'd spent everything she had for 12 years trying to get help. Couldn't find help. These two blind men, I don't know how they happened to find each other, but they had something in common, and they were a great comfort to one another. But they needed Christ to intervene, and because they couldn't live what we'd call a normal life unless Christ intervened. They were seeking for great things from God, from Christ. And then finally, after this story, read about the man possessed with a devil, and he looked very normal, but he couldn't speak, couldn't talk. Needed Christ to intervene. That's the condition of these people. And we all have different circumstances. The people that are in our classes on Sunday all have different circumstances. Some of them look like they have nothing, no, they have need of nothing. Well-dressed, drive the finest automobiles, lives in the finest houses in the finest parts of our town. Some of them, you look at them and think, man, now they really have a need. Some of them, you're just not sure about. But you know what? All of them have the same need, and that's the need for Jesus Christ. Everyone Same need. And that's the condition of these people. And by the way, that's the condition that you and I were in before we found Christ for salvation. Now, they have a need for salvation. Beyond that, there's needs that we have a need, things that we have a need for Jesus Christ. But our need is to get to Christ and let Him do what only He can do. You see the reference given to you here, Isaiah 53. And for most of you, it would be a familiar passage of Scripture. But all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. You know what the Bible's telling us there? We all have need of Christ. All. One little word. All. And it's all encompassing. The condition of these people. The cases involved, the condition of these people, they all had a need for Christ. And then finally, we see the consequences. The consequences. When Christ came to the house of Jairus, this is a very perplexing thing to me. He got to the house of Jairus finally, after the woman had stopped him and he talked to her and he got there. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house in Matthew chapter 9, verse 23, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said to them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. Isn't that an amazing thing? Jairus had gone and sought out Jesus Christ, the only one that could help. He got to the house. Everyone didn't have the faith that Jairus had. You see that? Everyone didn't have that faith. They laughed him to scorn. It wasn't they just, snickered under their breath, turned and walked out. It says they laughed him to scorn. Now, I know what my reaction would have been if I'd been in Christ's place right then. Well, then fine. You don't want any help? I say that to my kids on a regular basis. Fine. You don't want my help? Good. No, Christ, it didn't even faze him. It says that after him scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. The maid arose. So there was mourning. So the Bible calls it a noise, the minstrels, the weeping, the wailing. And just like that, one instant of Christ being there, and there's instant joy in the house. A great miracle, the consequence of Christ being on the scene. The woman, 12 years of suffering, and in one touch, Christ turns around and says to her, "Daughter," and she's made whole immediately, instantly. All the money she'd spent, all the time she'd spent at the doctor's, instantly, Christ's word, and she's made whole. That's the consequences. These two blind men stumbling about, leaning on each other, asking, begging where they can, getting help from whomever they can. And instantly, they get to Christ, cry out to Him. And He says, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And they're able to see immediately. That's the consequences when Christ came on the scene. You see the man possessed with a demon, dumb, not able to speak. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, verse 33 of Matthew chapter 9. And those around marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." Those are the consequences. As you're reading through the reading material that the pastor prepared for you in the book, you'll come to the song, "When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken." And as the song goes on, all is changed. Remember back in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray, all have gone astray. Well, all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And that's the point here, as we're talking about, they spread abroad His fame. And each of these miracles, each of these cases. Remember, God's had a plan for the ages. What's been His plan for the ages? And that's to make Himself known. That's His plan. That's why back in Genesis chapter 12, He called Abraham, set him out, and put His people in a part of the country, the crossroads of the world, to make Himself known. And God sees, and God meets individual needs. Why? To make people's lives better? Well, it certainly does improve people's lives. Don't you think that the woman that was healed, much better situation? The man, his daughter now is alive and whole. The two blind men can see. The man that couldn't speak can now talk. Their lives were better. But why? The same reason that we read about in 1 Samuel, where David says that he's going to fight Goliath. He says that all the earth may know that there's a God. They spread abroad His fame. You can find it. Remember, Joshua said the same thing in Joshua chapter 4. We talk about these stones out here. And Joshua put up those 12 stones. Why? He said so when they ask the question, when our children ask the question, that they'll know that the hand of God was involved, that all the earth may know. And as it's given to us here in Matthew, they spread abroad His fame. God sees the individual, meets the individual's need. We see the cases involved clearly given to us, the condition of these people, and then the consequences. May God help us. What's this supposed to move us to do as we're thinking, praying about encouraging our class this Sunday from God's Word? As we see God's hand, as we see God's hand in our life, as we see God's hand working in the lives of those we love, as we see God's hand working in our church, then what's that encourage us to do? That should encourage us to pray for the boldness to spread abroad His fame, to speak to others and say, man, let me tell you something. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I had this great need, but Christ met it. Spread abroad His fame. And that's the point of the lesson. May the Lord help us. Thank you, Lord, for this Bible lesson. Be with us as we prepare for this Sunday. Be with our pastor as he preaches this evening. And the kids are coming from the camp. Keep your hand upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.